Sharks. Organic colors in the sky.
What a thrilling time to be alive. What is up, everybody? It's the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Rusty Mansell. We are from Dogs HQ, and now I think we can start talking about the game, the first game of the season starting in hours rather than talking about it in terms of days. We don't have to talk about it in terms of days anymore if we don't want to. We're roughly about 50 hours out now, 49 and a half.
Professionally, how long have you been covering Georgia football?
You
get like you have gotten a paycheck to cover the Georgia football team
since 2011.
So I was 2009. So we're 15 and 13 into it. Was this the longest offseason ever? Did it feel like
long? Yeah, it did kind of feel long. And I don't know, man. Sometimes it did. You go back and forth. I mean, sometimes you're like, man, it's already here. And then other times it's like it takes 3 weeks for three days to go by.
I don't know, man. I felt like we got to that 100-day mark like really quick. You know,
yeah,
that's
you're probably right.
That's when you start paying attention, like, damn, this thing's 100 days away. You know, you start getting that first week of June. But the time up until now, it has drug on. I can't imagine those players in camp right now. Clemson same way, but Georgia is ready to freaking hit somebody else. Then they are tired looking at the teammates. They're tired of meetings. I'm sure they're tired of everything in that building. Put somebody else in front of us and let's play a game.
Yeah, byproduct, I think, of more than likely just kind of the physical practices that Georgia has. I mean, if you're going to sit there and be physical and beat up and go, you, at some point you're going to want to dish it out to somebody else and not have to do it the same guy over and over again, especially your own teammate.
Yeah. You know, a little different. I mentioned this on Dogs HQ this week, I believe last Friday, a little different calendar kind of date. Now, I know this is because of camp. They did their Bloody Tuesday practice last Saturday. So this Tuesday was still a pretty good practice, but it was in shell. So my thought process there, Jake, is probably Georgia is ramping this thing down. Let's get these kids fresh. They knew the forecast. They're going to practice outside all week. So get these guys' legs up underneath them. Let's get these guys healthy and have these guys ready to play at peak level at noon on Saturday. And I'll jump off the subject 1 second. Something that's always fascinated me, and I may be just a sports nerd. Boxing really fascinates me because how do you train your body to be ready to go to fight another human at 11 p.m.? You know what I mean? Like, logistics of that, how do you train that? So you look at Georgia, they trained all week and they're trying to get these kids good and rested up. Where are we going to be hydrated? Where are we going to be ready to go come Saturday at noon?
Yep, that's the key, man. And I believe that Georgia's start in that second scrimmage probably had a lot to do with this particular football game. That second scrimmage, I believe, you know, started like right at noon, maybe a few minutes after. And that's Saturday will be too. It'll be probably 10 minutes after the hour, you know, kind of before that. Not that anybody really cares, but that's actually when they kick off. They come on the television at 12 at noon.
So correct me if I'm wrong. You always fix me. I always tell you, you're on mute. You always fix me by the year. Did Georgia play South Carolina? Was that 2018 when DeAndre Baker picked that pass off at South Carolina? Mm-hmm. So that day was the second week, I believe, and it was going to be so hot. So Georgia practiced, I believe, at 3:30 every day leading up to that, as much as they could, especially during fall camp. Kirby had that team practicing at 3:30. We've talked about that game a long time. Georgia was the better team in shape because it was a hell of a game the first half. In the second half, Georgia came out four consecutive drives and scored. But it was obvious in the second half who was in better shape that day, and it was the Georgia Bulldogs.
That's right. And Georgia's had that happen several times and may not be as big of a factor in game one in a climate-controlled environment. But Georgia has been the team that's kind of run away with it late, and I think that'll probably play into our picks on this game here in a little bit whenever we make those. So the game's here, Rusty. The Georgia-Clemson game is here. What do you, first of all, I know we've briefly mentioned this, but in terms of the rivalry here, do you think we can ever get it back Or is it just kind of an ACC SEC thing that we've lost it for good, and it's just kind of a game that's going to be played every now and then, and folks just reminisce about the rivalry?
Well, two things work against that question there, and they don't play enough anymore. You know, they used to either open up or play second game, I believe, every year. They would open up with Clemson. You know, back in the day, you would play right off the bat, or you'd play early in September. So you knew that game, and in the proximity of both schools, right up 85 from each other, I think an hour and 10 minutes from each other. I'll say this about this, because, you know, Georgia fans are pretty spoiled. Let Georgia lose that game on Saturday. You want to talk about a rivalry. You let those Clemson fans have that to be able to speak on. You know, if Georgia goes in and beats them. So this is so Georgia turns around and plays them again. When is that, Jake? This is a two-game deal, right? I think there's two of them.
So yeah, I believe so. I believe it. The next, I believe 2026, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. So Georgia will play them again, and I don't know how things are going to work out. It could be a playoff matchup. But hell, Georgia could play Clemson twice this year. You never know how things are going to work out. So I don't know that the younger generation kind of understands this rivalry as much as the older generation does. And, you know, I think if Georgia does what we kind of both anticipate by winning this game, we'll talk about that further. But I don't know that's ever quite going to get there unless they play every year and or they play a couple times in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think – so it's kind of funny. It's almost like Clemson is just kind of coming back down to earth a little bit in time for this not to become one. I think the only chance for it, Rusty, was for it to be, you know, kind of an Alabama Clemson little rivalry thing to try and get something like that going. I think that, and it could have been better. Like, it could have been even better than that, because they do have those. They've got home and homes, a couple of different home and homes scheduled as well. They've got another neutral site game scheduled. They're going to play, I want to say, five times, Rusty, over the next 12 years.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I think it's somewhere in that neighborhood is what they're scheduled. I'm not really old enough to remember the Clemson rivalry. Like, it was, you know, I was born in 83, and I started watching Georgia football right around 91, 92.
Yeah.
So I didn't really, you know,
really some of my first memories. I was 10 there. So I started to understand, hey, this Georgia Clemson game is a big deal, especially when two teams win the national championship and you know that kind of programs they are. So, I agree there. You know, it's the older kind of Bulldog fans that kind of think this is a huge, huge kind of rivalry still.
Yeah. And there was layers to that too. I mean, Clemson's quarterback was from Athens, you know. Former Jordan was from Athens, went to Cedar Shoals High School and all that stuff. It, you know, just kind
remember,
of.
You remember the 91 game to start the season at night? That was Eric. I think it was Eric Zier's. That was Eric Zier's first game, I believe. And Georgia beats Clemson in a night game in Sanford Stadium, and that was freaking bonkers crowd. That was one of the early nighttime games that I remember in Athens. Like, they got some here. Like, this place is different tonight. Huge, huge game there in that game. I'm showing my age early, but yeah, that 91 game, I was a freshman in college. That 91 game in Saturday night in Athens was freaking rocking.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. I do remember the 0-2 game with Fred Gibson returning the touchdown. Kick return. That was a hot day, brother.
I wasn't there, but everybody told me they were there. Like, it was one of the hottest games ever. They ran out of water at like halftime. I mean, I heard that place was insane.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. And thank goodness I was behaving myself then. That was before I really cut loose at a tailgate. I was still on the young side. But
you're still Capri Sun?
That's right. Just Capri Suns, baby. That's all it was. A little Capri Suns, little mini water bottles. Too bad it didn't have, you know, these energy drinks that Rusty drinks now these days. All right, so what about this matchup, Rusty? Clemson's the number 14 team in the country, and Georgia's favored by 13.5 points, which makes you say Georgia's only favored by 13.5 points, and, you know, you can take it either way with that. Like, I mean, it's a couple touchdowns. You know, you're going to have to beat them by a couple touchdowns. I think if you gave Georgia fans a 28-14 win right now, they'd probably take it. But I think most would predict Georgia to go – you know, to beat them by worse than that.
Yeah.
What do you think about this matchup? Why do Georgia fans, you think, feel that way?
They've got an expectation. I mean, and, you know, it's there's so many variables into this, Jake, being a first game. There's so many unknowns. You know, Georgia on paper, you know, is the clear better team. It's the deeper team. Clemson, this is not a, I mean, this is still Clemson. Now they got a lot of pro players over there. They got freaking dudes, man. And they got a lot of guys. I was going with that roster last night. They still got a lot of guys. They beat Georgia head to head. You look at Dalen Everett, man. If they're not a coaching change there, Dalen Everett's playing for Clemson Saturday. You know, he flipped late to Georgia. And I think, to be honest with you, I don't think the Georgia fan base is taking Clemson too lightly. I think they just got to be cautious with the result. If Georgia wins that game 30-27 and it winds up being kind of a sloppy game or whatever, you got to take that as a first game because you got a very good power four opponent. This potential, you know, I would say odds are playoff type team maybe. So you got to take a win Saturday, come out of that thing healthy, and then see what you're going to do. Because here's the thing, Jake, you've heard this a million times as a high school player like I was, and then now somebody that's in the business. The most improvement is between game one and two. Once you can see the tape and say, okay, what the hell were you doing? Why did you line up here? What did you see? Even though it's Tennessee Tech, Georgia's staff is going to take this Clemson tape, win, lose, or draw, and they're going to show their guys, okay, this is what went right and this is what went wrong. We got to fix that starting now. Even though it's Tennessee Tech next week, you know, you're about to go to Kentucky and Alabama to finish off September. So, I think Georgia fans should look at this and get out of this thing with a win. You want to blow Clemson out. It says a lot about your program. You want to see your team play good, play crisp. I think you just kind of understand we got to get out of this thing with a win and move on and be healthy.
Nobody got muted just then.
Got your own mute, my man.
Yeah. I think Georgia fans are taking them a little too lightly. I really do. I think just a little bit. I mean, I do expect Georgia to win this game. I do expect Georgia to control this game. I think a lot of Georgia fans are setting themselves up to be more pissed off than they need to be between weeks one and two with a win.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I feel like I can see it right now. Like, everybody's setting themselves up to, all right, if Georgia doesn't score 38, 41, you know, 45 points against Clemson, which is something I've projected them to do, but if they don't, folks are going to be mad. They're going to be upset. They got a returning quarterback, and they expect everything to kind of click right away. And I think Georgia's this is kind of maybe a testament to how I feel about this Georgia team, Rusty. I think Georgia beats Clemson without clicking. You know, I think Georgia can go in there and not have to play its best game and still beat Clemson, still probably control that football game. Yeah. But I just think that there's just been a little bit of kind of scale. I mean, Clemson's offensive line, man, I'm not saying recruiting rankings mean everything, although that's the industry we're in. Go look at where those dudes were ranked. Tristan Lee, one of the top players in the country in his class. The other tackle, the two guys on the right side, really good players. They've got a lot of experience. Matt Luke's a good coach. They've got a good defensive line. Yeah, Georgia fans all the time, you tell me all the time, oh, we don't need that because we got the trenches. Like, we feel good in the trenches. Well, Clemson's pretty good in the trenches. I would give Georgia the edge in each one of those trenches, but just beware. It's not going to be a pushover.
I think, too, the one thing there is they gave up 28 sacks last year. Well, that's why you go hire Matt Luke. That's why you pay Matt Luke all this money to get him out of retirement. And, you know, talked about it. You heard Kirby Smart talk about Matt Luke. He said, look, I've been around this guy. He's a hell of a coach. They're going to be a lot more physical than what we've seen on tape. And that's something that Matt Luke's going to preach. So we're going to see where they are. I do think that matchup of Georgia's defensive line versus them, I'm super excited to see how Glenn Schumann kind of attacks them, and can they line up man to man on these wide receivers and come after this quarterback. Phil Moffa is a kid that's about 230 pounds. His tailback, he's from Grayson High School. I watched him play from his sophomore year on. It's a big dude, like a big lumbering, like he wants to get 25 carries and wear you down. Can he get to that? Can Georgia make them play kind of more of a pace than they want because they're behind? I think that's a key in this game too. But I'm interested in how this offensive line from Clemson is able to protect. Cade Klubnik at times has looked a little hesitant. I think he holds on the ball a little bit. It's not all 28 sacks or certainly on that offensive line. I think he tends to hold on to it a little bit. What is he like in the offseason? A second season with Garrett Riley. You know, what did they see in the offseason? They said, okay, we can work with this. What does Matt Luke, you heard Kirby say this, that Matt Luke is going to impact that game plan. That tells you that Matt Luke helped game plans at Georgia. And so there's a couple of wrinkles in there, you know, that I'm interested in. And once you start figuring those things out, how will Georgia attack them defensively? And will Glenn Schumann bring pressure, or will he try to make Cade Klubnik drive the length of the field? Will he try to keep everything in front of him and make this guy beat you in the red zone? Because they were not great in the red zone last year as a football team. So I think there's a lot of, you know, the X and O's, you want to dig a little in there. You know, defensively, I'm very kind of curious on how Glenn Schumann will attack Clemson, because I don't think you get too scared of Klubnik beating you with his legs. He's not a statue. He can extend the chains, but he doesn't like to run too much. So if you, the old saying is, if you know where a guy's going to be, you can send that, you can send that target to go get him. So we'll see what Georgia does there.
Yeah, I like the whole idea of kind of Georgia being the aggressor defensively in a game like this. I like the ability. I like the idea of Georgia taking its athletes and kind of turning them loose, kind of in that front seven, letting them run, letting them be, you know, be like wrecking balls. Let them kind of become the havoc players that these guys, these big long athletes that Georgia has up front, and they've got a lot of them. And I think that, you know, getting Clemson behind the chains, getting that offense off schedule with young receivers where you're looking for communication and you're looking for the ability to kind of, you know, read leverages and side adjust as far as in the route. Like you want to make them, push them to their limits in terms of what they ask some of their young players to do. And I think if Georgia can do that, then Georgia can have a dominant game defensively. The one thing I think really does, especially early in the year, needs to hang over from this team, though, Rusty, is the fact that I think they've got to be really good on third down early in the year, because I don't know, with all the injuries that they've got going on, I think that if they can consistently get off the field on third down like they did last year, I think they're going to be fine. It's just that, it's just in those situations, until they get a full deck on the defensive line, are they going to be able to kind of sustain that if teams are able to keep moving the chains and put together sustained drives against them?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's early. We'll see the sample size. I mean, I agree. I think Georgia's going to come after them. And I think they've shown that in the past. They've been very aggressive. And, again, my guy, I'm going to say it right now, I expect Jalen Walker to impact this game. And I think he's going to kind of – I think this is going to be a big momentum game for him. Like, hey – we got a dude, he can pressure, and I look for number 11. You know, it's ironic, Jalen Walker got down to Georgia and Clemson as well. You know, he's a kid from North Carolina, and, you know, I kind of thought at one point he might end up at Clemson, winds up picking Georgia. So we'll see on Saturday defensively. Can't wait to see that game within a game.
All right, Rusty, talking about a game within the game, you just teed me up right there. Prize Picks. Guys, Prize Picks is back. We've got some good stuff. Listen, this is exciting stuff. You've never had a better time. We took the little gift that Prize Picks gave us last year, Palmer and I, and even Wes whenever he was helping us out, and Rusty, and we took that little gift and we turned it into we tripled it. We quadrupled it. We still can't do anything with it. It's just kind of Monopoly money, but we did quadruple it last year. That's what you can do with Prize Picks. And it's just a click. I don't know, maybe not one click away, two, three clicks away. But either way, you can test your skills this football season in the most exciting way. Play daily fantasy sports over at Prize Picks. If you got the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with a few taps of the screen of on your phone, whatever. You can make it happen. And we got something set up with them with Dogs HQ. But before we talk about that, before we get to that, let's make some of these picks, Rusty. We've got a lot of them. We got a pretty big Georgia board here.
Yep.
That I'm pretty excited about. You know, we got Arian Smith, 31 and a half receiving yards. All you got to do is pick over or under, I believe, on that.
I'm going over.
Over and under. Over and under. So we're going to make, let's see, we're going to do three of these. And one of them has to be, we got to take the gimme. They've got a promotional offer, Jalen Milroe, over a half yard from scrimmage.
Oh my God.
So I feel pretty good about that
one. That warm up, we got that.
Yeah, that's one of their promo gimmies. So that's going to be one of them. So like everybody else that's eligible to go in there and pick Jalen Milroe and take that easy, you know, layup right there of over 1 yard from scrimmage. But here we go. We got Carson Beck. I liked this one, Rusty. 262 and a half passing. We're going to pick this one.
Yeah.
More or less.
I like that over, I think. I think he's going to be under 300, but I think he'll be over 262.
Finish the thing right out. All right, here we go. Carson Beck, we're taking the over on 262 and a half. Dylan Bell, let's see, Dominic Lovett. Dylan Bell, 38 and a half receiving, or Dominic Lovett, 52 and a half receiving? Which one do you like more on which side?
I'm all over Dominic Lovett over 52.
I think so, too. I felt good about that one as well.
I think he's going to be the primary receiver. What I like about him is he can catch a bubble and turn that thing into 20.
He's going to get the touches to make it happen.
He's going to get the
you know, they're going to get him a lot of those now passes and stuff like that. They're going to allow him to kind of jump out and do that. And here we go. Jalen Milroe, sorry, not yards from scrimmage, pass yards. You have to take the over. You have to take the over, believe it or not.
Our Bama board is going to be hot.
Yeah, so we're gonna do the over right there. Right. 20 to win 100 for Dogs HQ over here. You can see what we
got. We got Carson Beck over 262. We got Dominic Lovett over 52 receiving.
That's right, over 52. Jalen
Milroe's basically got to be breathing.
And a half receiving, yeah.
Jalen Milroe's got to be breathing.
And Jalen Milroe has to lean forward or throw it to a receiver and get it to lean forward. So picks submitted, Rusty. We'll get back to those next week, see how well we did. I like those picks. I'm fired up about them. And I'm fired up about Prize Picks. Guys, listen, this is real simple, and it's easy to use. The app is awesome. Pick more, pick less. They're giving some away. You can pick some of these three little things. Go in with $20 and put a little skin in the game. Have some fun with it and enjoy yourself. Go to prizepicks.com/dogs and use the promo code DOGS, DAWGS, to receive a guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in lineups. So listen, that's prizepicks.com/dogs and use promo code DOGS to get involved with that and make sure that you are picking as much as you can with these Georgia games so that you can come back and tell us about them in the comments. Now, Rusty, we're going to hear from another sponsor here in just a little bit. But before we do, I wanted to get into this recruiting opportunity that Georgia has on Saturday because it's one that I think is kind of unique. And that is Georgia's got a chance, and they don't get to show off their campus, and they don't get to show off anything, but they got a chance to make a first impression.
Yeah,
in a big game with a lot of fans,
great atmosphere,
great atmosphere in a really cool building, and you know there's a lot that we complain about as far as how recruiting goes and what's wrong and what's right and all that stuff, but I really believe that Georgia has a chance to set itself up for the next couple of classes, for the rest of this season, for the rest of this class as it tries to fill out that thing and figure out how it's going to deal with 20 extra scholarships on Saturday.
Well, I go back to last year's SEC championship game and the environment, which is obviously what I think would be happening Saturday. It's going to be a 50-50 crowd just about. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be loud. It's going to be big time. Ryan Pugliese, his season was over, and where he played, they played on Saturday. So he didn't get to come down to games last year. He and his father flew down for the SEC championship, and they just wanted to sit in the building. He wanted to experience Mercedes-Benz, what it was like to feel that. And I was like, you know, I met up with those guys before the game, and I remember thinking, y'all, this is going to be a little different than anything you've ever seen. And I remember him texting me during pregame warmups, his dad. He was like, holy, you know what? So yes, it's a great opportunity to sell your program. But it's a great opportunity to say, do you want to play in this environment? Do you want, if you're at Georgia, if you're coming to Georgia, do you want to be in environments like this? Can you see yourself in this? And even for Clemson, man, it is a win-win for these teams. And I'm telling you, I am shocked. I mean, I'm literally shocked how many players they're getting there for a noon game.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Those kids are playing tomorrow night, and they got to get up, and they got to be check in like at 9 a.m. You're not rolling in at 11:30. Like, you got to check into the stadium early to get there, to get your seat, you know, and you're not going to get to talk to coaches. You're not going to get to hang out on the sidelines. You're not going on the sidelines. You're going to sit in a section, which is in a lower level, which is good. You're going to sit in a lower level. You're going to watch that game, and you're going to go home as a recruit. You're unable to meet with these staff. So for Georgia, it's a win-win. Logistically, they don't have to do anything but provide the tickets. Now, they only get so many tickets. It's not like a normal home game where you got, I think Georgia typically uses in the neighborhood of 500, and that's a player per player plus two guests. And that is an NCAA rule. So, you know, too bad if you have a brother or sister, mom and dad goes, that's it, which I know they think is another stupid rule. But, you know, you look at this, you'll get to go there, get to go to the game and go home. Logistically for Georgia, it's great because they can text a player, hey, glad you're here. Let's talk on the way home. Let's talk tonight and those types of things. So we've had a great list on Dogs HQ. I'm going to make a few more additions today, and we're going to do a final list. And I just think, and here's the thing too, some of these kids are going to wake up Saturday morning and they're going to go, man, I can't go. I'm beat to hell after, you know, Friday night. And don't hold it against a kid if it doesn't show up. That doesn't mean, oh my God, he's not coming to Georgia or he's not coming to Clemson. That's a lot on a kid to play and to travel, especially to get these South Georgia kids there. That's going to be a big deal. So if this game was at 7 o'clock at night, it would be, there's no telling what this list would look like. It would be insane. But to get these kids on a noon game in Atlanta, it's been great.
Yeah, I'm blown away. And obviously, I guess I should have said this before, but obviously knowing that as many players that were going to be there is going to be there, you know, like being shocked as you are, yep. You know, kind of, I'm blown away with that. Like, I mean, I tweeted that out a few times. Like, I did not expect for a noon kick to have this kind of, and I know a lot of it kind of plays into, well, we're going indoors. There's several Metro kids, kind of Metro Atlanta kids on that list. You know, I mean, I totally get why some of them are there, but there's a lot of guys that are not really inside the area, you know, not really within that hour and a half radius who are going to be, you know, coming in to make that game happen. At least they won't, you know, burn alive like they would if they were probably in Sanford Stadium sitting in the sunshine. But it's just going to be, you know, it's going to be nice inside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So there's that too.
Also counting my notes. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids that I know of that are committed elsewhere.
Oh, and wow.
There's 10 kids that are committed elsewhere that are expecting to be in that crowd on Saturday. So, you know, that's a really big deal, but they're doing a really good job of that. And I love the rule. I love the rule being able, as kids being able to go and just see these teams in person play. So go for them. I actually will make a note today too. So the weekend, my understanding, Sunday opens up the recruiting where they can be back on campus. Will be a couple kids are going to stay over in Atlanta and then come to Athens on Sunday and visit Georgia in person. So that's cool. Never thought about that, but talked with a prospect just from out of state last night. He texted me, said, "Hey, it's Labor Day Monday, so they got time to get back to where they're from." So a lot of things going on recruiting wise, kind of that I didn't anticipate, but it wound up being a much bigger recruiting weekend than I thought. And I'll tell you this, I know it's Tennessee Tech next weekend, and I know it's going to be hot as you know what, but that 2 o'clock start instead of that noon start is going to make that a lot better list. Next weekend as they have their first home game next weekend in Athens.
That's a good point. It's easier to get to that game. I ain't gonna lie, I was working on something else, and as I was diving back in to talk to you, I was like, I think my mic's muted, but it wasn't that time.
I was gonna get so, you, man.
Yeah, we're there. Listen, it's a golden opportunity, and all of that plays into it. No logistics on Georgia's end. You've got the whole idea that they don't have to host. They don't have to kind of, you know, dig into that and do all the pregame stuff. What they can kind of focus on is playing the game and letting the play kind of do for the speaking. And you're going to get to do it in front of so many different kids, and you're going to get to make that first impression this year. And it should set up for a big season, one that's probably not going to be near as big as the 2025 season when it comes to folks, you know, visiting and doing their thing. All right, so let's look at our next. Since we're talking about recruiting, let's go ahead and shout these guys out, Rusty. NFHS.net, network website is awesome. Have you checked it out?
dude, I've lived on this for years. Doing what I do on Friday nights, that is a no-brainer. The technology there, you know, if you got a kid that plays, grandparents around the country can watch 90% of the high school games. I mean, for like $8 a game. I mean, it is insane. It's insane.
Well, right now we've actually got a little bit of a deal for them. You can save a little money on your first month. You can save 30% on your first month. And I will have that promo code here for you in a second. But ultimately you're right. And it's not just, we're not talking about just football. We're talking about volleyball,
basketball,
everything is there. Listen, if you want a way to watch any of the Georgia recruits or anything live, NFHS Network is the place to be. That's NFHSnetwork.com. And listen, you can stream the games live. You can watch them on demand later on. You can even clip out highlights that you want somebody else to see, or if you want to just save them for yourself, you can do that from the favorite moments, share them with friends and family. I use the platform Friday night and Saturday night, and I pigged out on high school football. And I'm probably going to do the same thing again because my wife and kids are going out of town for Memorial Day and I'm staying in town to work. So I will be all over NFHS.com, all weekend long. I can't wait. Awesome. I'll, you know, cover the Georgia game, probably take a little bit of a break from it, but that'll be it. Subscribe now at NFHSnetwork.com. And I believe the promo code is DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, and you will get 30% off of your first month. I believe that takes it down to about $8.99, $8.49, somewhere in that area. But otherwise, it is $11.99 a month. And, man, listen, it's, if you've got any interest in watching high school football or watching high school sports, keeping up with prospects, keeping up with family, it is worth every single dime. It is tremendous. Awesome. This year's the first chance I've looked, Rusty, and I'm glad I did.
It is awesome. I'd sponsor them just to say it. It is a damn good product. It is freaking awesome to watch that thing.
Yep, absolutely. We love them. We appreciate them, and they are a great partner to us. Rusty, now is the time that we make some picks. Okay. Now we got it. By the way, at the bottom there, promo code kickoff24 and join Dawgs HQ. Save 50% off an annual membership. That is through midnight tomorrow night. So you got about, by the time we're done here, you're going to have about, I don't know, what is it, 36 hours to make it happen. So jump on that. And that'd be the best way to join us. I do know that. Predictions for Georgia in 2024. That is actually not what we were going to get to. Yeah, I the wrong prediction thing. I'm telling you, dude, there's a lot of moving parts back here. You need to see it. Either way, we've got some predictions for the for Clemson game, Rusty. What are you thinking, man? I know we picked this thing on Dawgs HQ Plus. I wanted to check, see, maybe you change your mind. Maybe it's time to reveal the pick to everybody else.
I'm picking Georgia. I mean, I just think Georgia's the better team. I think Georgia's the deeper team. I do think if they mess around and give Clemson a couple of turnovers, if they give a momentum play here or there, you know, this thing could get real hairy real quick, you know. I like Georgia. I like Georgia's defense against Clemson's offense. The more I see it, I like Georgia's wide receivers against the young Clemson DBs. The more I look into that, I know the Clemson fans is kind of reading. Yesterday, I was reading. What are Clemson fans thinking? And the concern from Clemson fans is their corners. Two young corners versus these Georgia wide receivers and versus Carson Beck. So, you know, that's where I think Georgia can make some hay, and then they're going to take some shots, some chunk plays as well there. I'm going to temper my score a little bit from my earlier prediction. I'm going to go Georgia 31, and I'm going to go Clemson probably 17 on this. They're going to have, I think, explosive play or two to get to that. In my opinion, I don't see them being able to drive the field consistently and kind of run it down Georgia's throat that way. I don't think Phil Moffa's the big play explosive type guy. You know, he wants to grind that thing out 3 and 4 yards to death, and that's kind of in Georgia's wheelhouse. So, you know, I think the 17, you look at the line, that kind of matches up to what people think, the experts. So I'll go Georgia 31-17. And we'll see where Georgia is after this game.
Man, listen, it is, this one has been easy for me to kind of look at all off season and think, and kind of ride the fence a little bit, right? Like, I've thought about it all year, the kind of that, the Oregon game and the way Alabama, when Kirby Smart was there, would just fire out of the gates and just beat people, bludgeon people to death right out of the gate, right? Like, I remember those games. And I think with a full offseason to prepare, Georgia is going to come out with his hair on fire, and it's going to play well. And I think the team, it's going to be a very fired up football team. We know it's going to be well coached. I still don't think Clemson has regressed, but I don't think Clemson has regressed to the point that Georgia's just going to come in and just, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down right from the jump. I know there's some Georgia fans who want to see it. I mean, that Oregon game was over before. I mean, I remember Wes and I did a live thing of that, Rusty, and that thing was over before we could get a couple sentences out of our mouth to start talking about it. It was just done. And then it was the rest of it was like, man, we've committed to this. We got a bunch of filler we got to get into right here. Oof. It was, now I know how a guy feels whenever he, you know, kind of calling a 9-0 baseball game or an 18-1 type deal, you know? But I do think Georgia controls this football game. I think Georgia's physicality and kind of style of play is what gets them there. You know, I remember watching a couple years ago, Tennessee with Joe Milton at quarterback playing Clemson in the Orange Bowl. And I remember looking at that game and I remember thinking, man, Tennessee is clearly the better, the more physical football team in this game. I felt like Clemson kind of wilted under that Tennessee physicality. Mm-hmm. I've seen Georgia and Tennessee play too, and there's a big gap there as well in terms of physicality. So I like Georgia to do that. And my pick's 38-19. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Clemson's going to move the ball. I think they're going to hit some plays. And I think Cade Klubnik, being an experienced quarterback, you know, I see him kind of working the middle of the field and getting some 16, 17 yarders, getting them in field goal range. But I think Georgia, who I can almost guarantee has put a big emphasis on red zone defense this preseason with how much they struggled last year, I think they're going to be a lot better in the red zone for three or four different field goals. And 38-19 is my pick.
I like it.
Yep, that's the way I got them going. And listen, if you didn't see my predictions for the season, I've got Georgia making the playoff. That's all I'm going to say. They're out yesterday. They got Georgia making the playoff.
Going on a limb, dog.
Going out on a limb. Georgia's coming out of nowhere.
So that enough. Hey, 7-5, man. All I heard was 7-5 from us. We said 7-5. All of a sudden, now you pop a playoff. So,
yeah, I heard Nolan Smith predicted 7-5.
How about Nolan, man?
Yeah, all that's fun. Hey, listen, keep up with the dogs in the NFL. NFL season, the 53-man rosters. A lot of dogs got released. A lot of them got re-signed to practice squads. There's actually a little drama out there right now with Lewis Seen, who
he's going to Buffalo now.
That's right. He kind of spurned the Jets to jump into Buffalo. Jamal Adai, I believe, is the DB's coach in Buffalo. So, Lewis Seen and Coach Adai have a little bit of an intersection there.
Kendall Milton's got to learn my phone. Kendall Milton signed practice squad with the Bengals. So, he'll reunite with Amarius Mims up there.
Yeah, that's a good one for him, too. Mm-hmm. At least you don't have to move all the way across the country. You know, Philadelphia, Cincinnati's probably not the – probably not the worst trip to ever have to make. So,
nope, not at all.
All right, guys, listen, we're excited about the football season. We can't wait. And the next time we talk to you, there will have been a game played. It'll be right after the game on Saturday, hopefully somewhere around 3:30, 4 o'clock. And hopefully we're talking about a Georgia win. And we're talking about what the Bulldogs did to get the season off to a 1-0 start. We'll be back with you on Sunday after that. And then the cycle starts over again. Dogs HQ Plus on Tuesday and all sorts of stuff. We're excited about this season. We'll have you covered. We've given you a little bit of a taste of what our schedule look like here on YouTube. And go Dawgs, man. We'll see what happens.